Hello, this is my Lenten Diary for February 27, 2026. Today is Friday in the first week of Lent. This is a reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Let no one deceive themselves. If anyone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in people. Here ends the reading. At least half a dozen times a week, someone will ask me if I've read a particular book, listened to a particular podcast, seen a particular movie or television show, or heard a particular song. More often than not, I have to reply, no, I did not know about that. This is not because I'm disconnected from all of those sources. Generally speaking, I can return the favor with any conversation partner, telling them about various things I've read, watched, or listened to, only to have them reply to me, "Never heard about that." As I was thinking about Paul's argument in today's passage concerning wisdom and folly, I know from plenty of Bible commentaries that apparently the reason the Corinthians were in conflict and were comparing teachers, Apollos, Paul, and Peter, was because the Corinthians reveled in their own erudition. They thought of themselves as smart, knowledgeable. But Paul is having none of it. Early in the letter, he had claimed he taught in their midst with a simple message: Jesus Christ and Him crucified, even though, by his own admission, the apostle understood that to many of his listeners, this business about the cross defied wisdom, was erroneous knowledge, and verged on foolishness. The cross is the wisdom of God, Paul insists. And if it's foolish to those purporting to be wise, then well, they are foolish for not being able to discern God's wisdom. I know this likely sounds circular, but I think Paul is drawing a distinction between amassing knowledge as sort of an intellectual exercise and cultivating wisdom as a spiritual exercise. The Corinthian elite were knowledgeable in the ways of Greek philosophy and culture, but they had not grasped God's wisdom. And indeed, God's wisdom, as Paul insists elsewhere, is a mystery to be explored, not knowledge to be exploited. I read somewhere earlier this week that human knowledge continues to grow exponentially, with estimates suggesting it currently doubles roughly every 12 to 13 months. No wonder I can't keep up. This doubling of knowledge every 12 to 13 months compares to once every century knowledge doubled before 1900. Again, no wonder I can't keep up. And if anyone thought knowledge would be humanity's salvation, I believe we don't need to look far to see plenty of evidence to the contrary. Then this week, I saw this quote by Franciscan monk and priest Richard Rohr about the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Rohr writes, "True spiritual growth balances knowing with not knowing. The arrogance of the mind must be tempered. That strange injunction in Genesis against eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil is, I believe, a warning to religion to be humble about declaring who is right and who is wrong, who is in and who is out. But we, all of us, have eaten from that tree voraciously for centuries." Rohr goes on, "When religion clings only to the path of certainty, concepts, and proofs, in other words, the path of knowledge, it leaves no space for mystery, darkness, and the liberating humility of not needing to know. In other words, wisdom." I don't believe Rohr is promoting ignorance. I believe he is pointing out the limits of knowledge. At some point, human beings have to come to the place of recognizing not everything in life or the universe is explainable, controllable, or fixable. The Christian faith teaches us that the gap between our knowledge and the wisdom of God is both the opportunity for us to display either our humility or our arrogance. Maybe, instead of consuming more content, the spiritual path invites us to preserve some spaciousness in our minds, souls, and calendars, to allow for silence and stillness. We may find that most of the knowledge we are missing out on doesn't add one whit to durable wisdom. In the end, our boast as the people of God isn't in ourselves anyway. Our boast is in the Lord, the one who is the Word that was before the beginning and through whom all things were made, even knowledge. My intention for the remainder of Lent is to take a break from the knowledge consumption machine and towards leaving some space for holy mystery. Who knows what sort of wisdom may be found there? Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hardwood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace. So clothe us in your Spirit that we, reaching forth our hands in love, may bring those who do not know you to the knowledge and love of you, for the honor of your name. Amen.